ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different things. The NBA started last night. How excited are you, Jared? That's what I'm going to ask on a scale of 1 to 10. Thunder get going this evening. We'll have that game right here on 98.1 FM. Talk a little bit about their season. Is there anything to really look forward to? Is there anything that excites you across the league? Who's going to play for the title? Who's going to win? We'll talk about that. Magic Johnson, tragic. Stuck his foot in his mouth on CBS this morning. Just a ridiculous statement from Magic Johnson that we'll talk about at the end of the show. College football weekend. We talked about it yesterday. So what's coming up this weekend? And then also, what is your pecking order as far as where teams are situated heading into the weekend for the playoff? So basically, who has the best chance? And I went all the way to number 10.
Oh, wow.
Put them in order of who it could be, who's where. So we'll talk about that. All things college football. MLB playoffs were awesome last night. Turns out it's hard to – I get it that the Red Sox have won a title recently, but doesn't it feel like the Dodgers and the Astros have kind of been the teams lately?
Yeah.
You know, Boston won in 2018, so they've actually won since – Houston has, but it feels to me like Houston and LA have kind of been the two teams that have kind of been the champ or whatever, and it just shows you how hard it is to knock them off the way those games ended up last night. So that's kind of what we got planned. We'll start hitting the high school football tomorrow, obviously, with the Elks playing tomorrow night, and then get you ready for Friday night as well with all the huge games around the area with district titles hanging in the balance as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text, and we can talk about any of that or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com, live stream us that way, or download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon. With us right here on KADS. You got KECO Cool 94 as well on the radio stations. Penny News is in the app. Check out the brand new edition of the Penny News right now. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Pick up a free copy of the Penny News. Once again, we always say this on Wednesday. You can double dip today. You can go out and get last week's and kind of check it out, and then boom, this week's will be there in a lot of places today, this afternoon, everywhere by tomorrow morning. So check out this week's edition of the Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, Elks Thursday, Merritt Friday. You can check out high school football live stream that way. And we also got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you miss our show entirely, you can go back and check out what we had to say. Do that, KADSAM.com or on iTunes. If you do it on iTunes, you might as well subscribe, because then you'll be alerted when a new podcast drops. And all you got to do is look at your phone. Boom, there it is. Hit play. And you can hear what we had to say if you missed the show. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I am pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right. Not great, but not bad. I don't know why I'm tired. I went to bed at a normal time. You ever wake up and just felt like you didn't get enough sleep?
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. Hopefully I'm not getting sick or anything. I feel great, other than being tired. Maybe those games last night wore me out.
Well, hopefully not, Jared. Hopefully you're not getting sick is right. You know, there were some guys that played baseball at the University of Missouri, one guy in particular with Roper back in the day, that he believed that you had to sleep in increments of 45 minutes to not feel like you're feeling.
So what, 45 minutes?
Or an hour and a half, or two and a quarter, or three. Or four and a quarter, you know. So if you woke up at times that weren't in those 45-minute increments, you wouldn't feel right.
What's the reasoning?
No idea. Just what he thought.
Seems a little OCD to me.
It could have been. But it would set his alarm that way.
Okay.
I think it was 45. I'm pretty sure it was like every 45 minutes.
You know what I did last
night? I actually think he had some sort of like sleep cycle thing that went into it.
Okay.
But
well,
it's pretty wild.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, I guess, quite literally.
Yeah, maybe it worked. I have to start thinking about that, looking at the clock like when you're about to go to sleep, and then set your alarm at that time and see if it works.
Try it out. I just think the more sleep, the better. That's all I care about. I don't care how long it is. Just as long as I can sleep a full night, you know, without waking up.
What do you try to get each night?
Oh, I don't know.
What's a full night of sleep?
I don't know. I'd try to get to bed between 10 and 11.
Like to bed or sleep?
Closer to bed. Closer to 10 than anything. When it's 10 o'clock, I'm like, all right, time to shut her down. Time to get ready for bed. And I'm usually, my wife's always the first out of bed. And I make it a point, I got to get my girls out of bed no later than 6. So my feet hit the ground right before 6.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder. You're not getting enough sleep.
But listen, I've always felt fine. For some reason right now, I did not get enough sleep last night. And it was no different than my routine I just described to you. It makes me wonder, was I rolling around a lot last night? Did I keep waking up more than usual? You know, we all wake up in the middle of the night to turn around or whatever. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. Whatever. I'll get over it. I'll get over it. You know what I did last night? I don't know why. I think this is the coolest thing ever. I've had these smart plugs in my possession for months now. I just haven't set them up. I finally set them up onto 4 lamps. And I think it's the coolest thing ever. I can say, Alexa, turn the lights off. And they go off.
Huh.
It's the coolest thing ever. I don't know why. I know it's been around for years. And people are like, whoa, wait. I've had that forever. No big deal. My kids thought I was magic when I said, watch this. Watch this. I said, hey, Alexa, turn the lights off in the living room. Click. And they're off. It was the coolest thing.
See, if that was at my house, you'd have to say, hey, Alexa, turn the lights off in Wyatt's room. Click. Because those are the ones that get left on the most.
Yeah. And then my girl said, are they in our lamps too, in our room? Are they? No, I ran out of those smart plugs.
No, but they need to be.
I think that might be where we're going.
6.5 to 7 hours is plenty, according to William.
Okay.
So there you go. You're fine.
Thank you, Will. Felt like I was fine.
So at that point, that means you need 6 hours and 45 minutes to get on to the sleep plan.
Get on that cycle.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I don't know what it may. Hopefully, I'm okay. I'm fine. I think I just woke up a lot and rolled around.
Had a little, and you know
you
what
have?
Yeah, just like a little catch in your throat. You know.
Yeah.
A little sore throat. You know what the best remedy for that is, and I did it last night because I had to go to Walmart pick up some things.
What's that? Hot tea with honey?
And lemon.
And lemon.
Yep. Yes.
Hey, listen, man. We're in radio. We talk a lot.
It's a million percent. A guarantee that you're going to be feeling better.
Yeah. I've done that with a sore throat, especially like when your throat's on fire and I've had to go call like marathon of basketball
games.
See,
that's what I was thinking about Thursday night. I'm like, man, I've got to get some honey and lemons were already on the list to get to try to.
Yeah, the hot tea.
Yeah, because, you know, yep. You sit there, at least I do. I don't know. A lot of times I sit after this show, cut some weather. You do the news at noon, so you kind of use your voice. But a lot of times I don't really do a lot of talking between now and when it's time to cut the sports in the evening. Mm-hmm. In the last 2 days, I've noticed I've kind of went, when it started. To, you know, like, oh, wait a minute. And so I decided I better hit up the honey and lemon tea.
I hope you
night.
Now take
and it already
care of that.
Feels it already feels a million percent.
Take
better.
Care of that. My nightmare scenario for Big Elk football is you calling me up on a Friday or in this case a Thursday morning saying I can't go.
What if I came in tomorrow going,
oh boy? I say, well, okay, you're still going. if you can't talk, but you're still going to be there.
We need to. We're going to
point things out. You can maybe keep stats or something.
I know this is going to go against your. We're going to have to talk off the air about tomorrow how the mechanics of it are going to work, because I'm going to have to attend a funeral
tomorrow
at 2.
Ooh.
I know.
Looks like you might be meeting us there. Where is that here?
It's in Sayre.
Oh, boy, that's going to be... Whew.
So we'll have to talk about that.
Okay. But
the way I figure it, I think at the very least, it's just going to change our meal plan.
Well, here's the deal. I've already looked at that.
And good news.
There's not a lot of places to eat in cash.
Oh, I didn't... It never occurred to me to eat in cash.
What's the good news?
Well, there's things on the way.
Okay.
That we don't get to have here.
Being where? What?
There's places in Altus.
Oh, so you want to go straight south to Altus?
100%. Okay. Where are you going?
I was going to go over through Cordell and then
down. Oh, no.
Okay.
No. Straight south to Altus, around the Air Force Base, hit the highway.
Gotcha.
What is that, 62 between Altus and Lawton? Mm-hmm. Boom, boom. It's like an hour 20.
Well, there's always the Whataburger.
There's Burger Joint. There's also the... I mean, that's really what I was thinking.
What, Whataburger?
Yeah.
Yep. Had that on Sunday on the way back to
No. You've got 2 days of...
I'm okay.
Twice in a week.
I'm okay with it.
That's what I mean, if it goes, you know.
I'm okay with it. I like Whataburger. Twice in a week, that'd be okay with me.
Okay, well, there you have it. So that'll be... We'll have to tell Hunter when we're leaving, but... Sometime around the 3 o'clock hour.
It's going to be cutting it close.
It's really not. It's an hour 20 down there.
I feel like it is.
Take us 20 minutes to eat. We can, and if it's that close, we can get it to go. We can eat it on the road. It's not going to be that close. Don't worry.
Just remember, we're down a man as far as setting up, but that's never really mattered. So.
I was going to say, really? Are you going to be gone?
Thank you.
I'm going to be there. Are you going to be gone? That's what I thought.
I'm on Mr. Do-It-All's going, so don't worry about it. Everything will be fine.
Good news, I got the confirmation we do have our own booth in the press box, which we kind of knew. But
we knew that. That's one of the nicer venues we go to as far as facilities are concerned. That's all I'll say about that. But, yeah, we should be good there. Now, the game itself, I think we should be good, too.
Let's hope so. Last night, speaking of good and good games, there were a couple really good baseball games last night. One of, you know... 3-1 is different than 3-0 as far as coming back, but both teams that came back to win. Pick up Taco and Altus is big time. I 100% agree with that. We'll have to talk about that. Man, it is good. It is very, very good. And it's right on the way where we're trying to go. Close enough anyway.
Okay.
The baseball games. Braves, Dodgers, you know, Seager hit the home run in the first inning to make it 2-0. Dodgers, the Braves came back, led 5-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning, and man, could you not? And I thought the announcing crew did a good job of kind of capturing where the fans were, the nervousness of the Dodger fans. You know, the defending champs, and you could, even back in the, you know, the fifth or sixth inning, you know, the half-hearted "Let's go Dodger" chants. It never really took hold because they were so nervous and sitting on their hands,
right.
So it was kind of like, "Let's go Dodgers," but gosh, we're about to be down 3-0 and we're going home and all of that.
Can't.
Whoops. Uh-oh. That's not supposed to be on. Where is that sound coming from? Timeout. Okay.
Could be worse.
Man. Yeah. That kind of makes you nervous when videos just start playing off websites. Anyway, depending on what you're looking at. But... Cody Bellinger, who's been hurt, he had a big hit. God, was it last series where he had the kind of the game winner, or was it in the wild card game when he had a huge? Anyways,
yeah,
he came to the plate, and kind of the way he's been hurt and the way he's been struggling, a little bit of a Kirk Gibson moment.
Cody Bellinger representing the tying run here in the eighth inning. And he sends one high and deep, way back right center field. We are tied! Cody Bellinger! Bellinger strikes again.
Now, you don't hear the color guy scream yes, yes on Major League Baseball games very often, but it happened last night. I think it was just such a cool moment for Bellinger. Yep. As he hit the home run, then just a few hitters later, Mookie Betts doubled in the what would be the go-ahead and game-winning RBI. And instead of down 3-0, the Dodgers win 6-5, and it's a 2-1 series going into game four. Just a an unbelievable turnaround on that home run from Bellinger.
And that could be what they circle in Dodger history, is that was when that series turned around. Because if you go down 3-0, then that's tough to climb out of. We've seen it done, but it's tough.
They did it last year. Oh, yeah. Well, 3-0, I'm sorry. That's happened once.
Exactly. So, but that home run right there by former Oklahoma City Dodger Cody Bellinger, that could be the turning point. It's huge. And you could regain that momentum. Now they got to turn around. When is it? It's tonight, right?
I would assume.
I think it is. Yes. Tonight at 7 o'clock. So that's pretty much must-watch TV to see if the Dodgers can tie this thing up. I like the Dodgers. Listen, I do. I like them because I think we're gravitating towards them because of the minor league affiliation out here in Oklahoma. But isn't it fun that the Braves are good?
Yes.
Right?
100%. I mean, because growing up, when we did, once you start to remember things, 10, 12, what do you remember? The Braves being awesome every single year.
And they were on TBS every afternoon, right, when we were at home, not in school and not doing anything at that age, right? Yeah. No, don't kid yourself, I was a Ranger fan, but I was looking for a baseball game to watch, that was it.
Yeah, I mean, no offense to Will, but you didn't want to watch the Cubs because they were terrible most of the time. You could on WGN.
Sure,
I mean,
could.
Everybody had that option too. But the Braves were good, but they weren't so good at the end that you tired of them. They were kind of they were the Bills, except for they actually did win one.
Yeah.
Back in 95. And they were kind of that, they were all kind of homegrown guys as far as the team. There would be a Maddox later on in here, but those first few Braves teams, it was Glavine, it was Smoltz, it was Steve Avery, it was Dave Justice, it was Ronnie Gant. All of those guys were basically kind of homegrown from the time that they got to the bigs as they got better, And then it was just you got to see them all the time, and they were an easy team to root for because they didn't have a whole bunch of craziness going on, which, listen, back then, not a lot of teams did, but
we knew of them. That's true.
Yeah, that's
before. Yeah. The microscope called social media, but right, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you go back and start watching some of that, the 30 for 30 about the Mets in 86.
Right.
Not a lot of people knew that was going on back then either, and that was as crazy as it got. But, they were fun to watch, and they were good every year. What they ended up winning, 14 straight divisions through that run.
Yeah.
And so, but since then, until this new kind of breed of guys has come along, they've been kind of middling, kind of rise up, but then not be very good for a sustained amount of time. And what's crazy is they don't even have their best player. Ronald Acuna, he got hurt back in in the regular season. He's been out for a long time.
I always forget about that.
But, it's kind of for guys our age that aren't Will, it's kind of a fun series because it is the AAA affiliate is in Oklahoma City of the Dodgers, and then a lot of people were Braves fans back in the day. And there were total bandwagoners, there's no doubt.
Absolutely.
But that's what you got to see. They were kind of, they're in a lot of ways, America's team because everybody got to watch them.
Right.
You didn't have to live in New York City to be able to see the Yankees or Boston to see the Red Sox or wherever else. Everybody got to see the Braves, and everybody got to see the Cubs and the White Sox a lot of times too, but the Braves were the good one, and those other two weren't. And so that's why I think a lot of people gravitated toward them in that time. And now, 20 years, 30 years later, you see it manifesting itself again. But if you're a Brave, you've got to be thinking, what in the world do we got to do to beat these guys? Up 3-1 last year in the National League Championship Series, blew it. The Dodgers win the title. And now you're on, I mean, you're on the doorstep of 3-0, and only the 2004 Red Sox have come back from that deficit. Only that team. You're five outs away. You know what the percent chance of the Dodgers winning that game when Bellinger came up to the plate was?
Of the, I would say 20 or lower.
6.
Wow.
6% chance the Dodgers win that game when Bellinger strolled to the plate. It's also, this is a great one. I saw this on ESPN Stats and Info. Give them credit. How many series, so the first three games of this series, the team that won took the lead in their last at bat. Because the Braves had two walk-offs in game 1 and 2. Then obviously the Dodgers took the lead in the 8th and didn't hit in the 9th. How many series do you think have ever been like that?
Two or less.
Three. This is the third one. There was two. And by the way, the Braves were in the latest one in 95 against the Rockies. I can't remember what the feather one was. But a crazy series. Been nip and tuck. Really close. Back and forth. And like you said, game 4 is tonight in a game, in the series 2-1 Braves. Then the nightcap. The Astros down 2-1 in Boston. And man, they get the home run in the first inning for Bregman. And you think, okay. It's the Stros. Here they go. And then Xander Bogaerts hits one into the Atlantic Ocean in the top of the, or in the bottom of the first. It's 2-1. Zach Greinke makes it, what, an inning and a third, inning two-thirds. But that bullpen from Houston found a way to keep it 2-1. And they, Boston had tons of chances in those first few innings to blow it open again like they had the entire series. And they didn't do it, and they didn't do it, and they had a chance, and they didn't do it. Raley came on to get the last two outs of the second inning, and then Javier, those three innings he threw, he gave up like a two-out triple, or a one-out triple, got out of it. A one-out double, got out of it. And it allowed Houston to stay in the game, and stay in the game, and stay in the game. And then Altuve tied it in the 8th with a home run, and then all of a sudden in the 9th, just absolutely exploded for 7 runs in the 9th inning. 5th time that's happened in postseason history. The last time it happened was 97 World Series by the Marlins. And just a heck of a comeback. And, man, those teams that have won, like I said, Houston and L.A., you've got to kill them or they're going to come back. You know, it's hard to put them away.
It is.
Oh, hang on. Here we go again. I just can't change the screen. I had to hit. Go ahead and talk about what you thought about that.
I don't know why I know this stat. I know why I know it because I heard it yesterday during Jim's show, and you probably heard it too. Boston was 6-0, and Kyle Schwarber was leading off this year.
I heard that guy call in and say that. Yes,
well,
I did.
Now they're 6-1. I don't know why that would matter, but I mean, he was talking about superstitions, and Jim. Now I was thinking it, and then Jim said, "It's like that's not super. That's just stats. That's just statistically. That's stats. You put, you know, he's leading off. You have success, but when he went 0-for-4, that's not going to help anything."
Yeah, and he was up there a couple of times with chances to blow it open and didn't get it done. Yeah. There was a couple of funky things like that in the Boston lineup. They also talked about JD Martinez when he went down to 6th in the lineup. It just because he had a bum ankle and they didn't want to have to take him out in the middle of the lineup. So they moved him down to 6th and how that kind of ignited Boston. But that man, that Astro bullpen kept it going. Castro singled in the 9th to make it 3-2, and then this blew it open in the next hitter.
That's a line drive into right center field. Is going to get down and go to the wall and clear the bases. 3 more runs are going to score for the Astros as Brantley knocks it into the gap and blows it open here in the 9th.
Blow it open to the tune of 9-2 that the Astros come back and win that, even in the series at two games apiece. So the flip-flop today, Boston-Houston will be the first game in the afternoon. L.A. and the Braves will be the second game tonight in those series. With an inning left in each of them, looked like it was going to be sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
The Braves up 3-0. Boston was about to take a 3-1 lead over Houston, and then, you know, we get some time off until the World Series starts, and now maybe a couple of classics coming with some comebacks by those two teams in LA and Houston. So good stuff yesterday in the Major League Baseball playoffs. It was a good time to have those games too, because there wasn't any football.
No.
It was kind of, you know, basketball starting, but I don't know how ready anybody is for the NBA to start. It seems early. And so baseball didn't have the stage all to itself, but kind of did. And in not really baseball fashion, they got it done. You know, they didn't find a way to screw it up and just have a couple of laughers. It was both really fun, good games to watch.
Likelihood of both series going the distance of 7 games. I feel like one will and one won't.
I think I would agree with that. It doesn't it feel like Houston-Boston is headed that way?
Yes. That was my one.
I think it is. And
I do think Atlanta gets it done.
I do too. I think
they sneak a win today and they take it back to Atlanta.
May happen.
To finish it up.
What are they? They're 2-3-2, aren't they?
Who's starting?
Is baseball still 2-3-2? Yeah. They're playing 3 in Boston. Yeah, because this is game 5. So, yeah, and then they'll go for 2 more back at Houston after today.
Right.
Yeah, you're probably right. One of them does, one of them doesn't.
It'd be fun if they both do, though. It always makes for good baseball when they both go to 7 games. Any game 7, any sport. But I think the ALCS will go the distance.
Yeah, after last night, Dodgers may just win 3 in a row and crush the Braves' soul.
Yeah.
Coming up this weekend, a little bit of an off week, really, for college football as far as the matchups, and then things turn up to 100 next week with a bunch of those Big Ten East teams starting to play each other. Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. And so we'll start to kind of see some separation and get an idea of a little bit clearer idea of what the college football playoff picture is going to be. It's interesting. I don't know if this happened on purpose. We were visiting off air about when the first rankings come out. Turns out it's after next week. So pretty good timing on the college football playoff committee's part to have those big games happening in a week, and then that Tuesday, here come the rankings. So I'm thinking about, and you know, we'll have these conversations from now until the first weekend in December, or that Monday after the conference title games, and we know who is in the playoff. But with what, 5-6 games left, depending on if you've had a bye yet or not, you're starting to see a little bit of separation, but there's also a lot of different teams that you could probably create a scenario in which they could make the playoff, right? I mean, there's still a ton of teams that if things went absolutely perfect, they could make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, all right.
They need some help.
They need help. They got to win the games.
We've seen the history of this college football playoff and how some teams can get in. And not. I mean, some of that's favored OU, like when Utah – got beat by who? I mean, that opened up the door for OU that year. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, Oregon beat Herbert.
Right,
Oregon beat Utah
Friday night. But yeah. I see what you're saying.
So, I kind of ranked the top 10 in most likely, and it also it's most likely, but it's also kind of doesn't need help. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like I ranked them from 1 to 10 in order of how much they kind of control their own destiny.
Right.
Versus needing help and that kind of thing. And so, to me, the team that is the most likely to make it and controls everything is obviously Georgia. They're the number one team in the country. All they have to do is win. And that may not even be true either. Because
they could probably survive a loss in the SEC championship game, right?
I think so.
Is that where you're going?
100%.
Yeah.
I think if they get to that game undefeated, you can put them in.
Right. There are some saying even that applies to OU. Some are saying it. I've seen you've seen the predictor thing on ESPN, and I've done the scenario where if OU gets to the championship game and loses, they still have some 80% chance of getting in.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I think it's a fairly decent one. I think it totally depends on who they play.
Your opponent, yeah. And then I think that begs the question of what if it isn't Well, there wouldn't be any undefeated. It'd be a one-loss team. It'd be
because they all play each other.
They all play each other, yeah.
So Georgia's schedule.
I mean, there's always, you know, you would hope there would be a scenario where maybe two Big 12 teams could get in. But it's not because, like we said, if Georgia can survive a loss in that title game and still get in, you're still dealing with and you would imagine that one loss is going to come to a one-loss Bama. Well, there's two spots, right?
I say there's not, but there is.
Oh,
there,
I know that's where I'm. I mean, I know we don't have to agree with the committee's selection there, but we all know that's going to happen if that's the way it comes out.
No. I'm talking about for the Big 12.
Oh, I thought you talked about Bama not deserving.
No. Here's Georgia's schedule. Why they have Florida in the cocktail party, then they have Missouri at home, at Tennessee, Charleston Southern at Georgia Tech. That's why I put them one.
Well, absolutely.
Because they've already done what they had to do against the three ranked teams that they played in Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn and Kentucky. And also, you know, beat Clemson at the first of the year, which looked like a hellacious win, and now it's kind of meh. But either way, they get there. I think they're in no matter what the results of that game is. So I'd have them one. I have OU two for a lot of what you were talking about. Their schedule gets tougher down the stretch. There's no doubt about that. I think it would behoove them a ton for the Big 12 title game. Let's say, I mean, undefeated Oklahoma Big 12 champ is obviously in, no worse than the second seed in the tournament. And that probably depends on what happens with Georgia and we think Alabama in the SEC title game. If that turns out to be an Alabama win, then OU's probably the one seed if they win out and they're undefeated, barring maybe a Michigan or somebody. You know, that can make things a little bit different there. But in your scenario of how could Oklahoma make it with a loss, I think there's only one way that happens. The loss occurs at Oklahoma State.
Or before the Big 12.
And then comes back and wins.
I see that.
I don't know if they have enough cachet because of the schedule to hang on to that spot as a non-conference, not a conference champ. But it totally depends on what everything else happens. You know, if Bama loses again, a two-loss Bama, and which, by the way, two-loss Bama isn't even guaranteed to play in that game. You know why?
In what game?
In the SEC title game. Because if A&M doesn't lose again, it would be them.
That's true.
You know, I mean, so that would definitely help Bama losing again for Oklahoma to be able to make it and suffer a loss in the title game. But I think of it the other way, I guess, putting them second. And because one loss, Big 12 champ OU is making it.
Agreed.
So that's why I put them that high.
It's funny because this is a scenario we haven't seen. We've in the playoff era with OU, they've survived early season an early season loss and then run the table and win the title, Big 12 title. But we never seen it where they've lost a game late in the year, which is what this is turning into now. We're turning that corner. That makes me wonder, would that stench of a loss still stick on them when it comes to the playoff committee trying to make a pick to put someone in there? See what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%.
They go, well, that was then. That was in September when they lost. They've gotten better, and they're definitely worthy. Whoa, they lost in October. They lost in early November. Oh, I don't know if they're still worthy. We got other one-loss teams that got better.
It would sure help them to be able to beat the team that they lost to in the title game.
Yeah, like lose at Stillwater and then go and
– Sure.
Yeah.
I think that – you know, you always hear that, oh, they avenged their only loss.
Right.
Okay, so I've got OU 2. I've got Bama 3. Because, quite frankly, if Bama wins the rest of their games they're in, they don't need help. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They need no help. If they win their games, they're in. And I think they have a better chance of doing that than who I've got at number 4. I've got Michigan at 4.
Okay.
Just for that, because they win, they're in. I've actually got Oklahoma State at 5 because they're in that same boat. And in your scenario of could two Big 12 teams make it, how does that look? In my mind, Bama's got two losses and wins the SEC title. Then the conversation is, okay, is it Bama, Georgia? They can't have two. So there's one spot taken. Chaos somehow in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. They all kind of cannibalize each other.
Yeah, or maybe, well, the problem is they all play each other and they're all in the same division. So it's going to be hard to figure out a way for that to happen. But that happening, or maybe Penn State beats them all with already having one loss, and then they lose to, say, Iowa with two losses or whatever it is. And then it becomes, Oregon has to lose. And at that point, you're kind of there. Say the Sooners win Bedlam but lose the Big 12 title game. Well, OSU's the one-loss Big 12 champ. OU's played a game that didn't matter. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you hear that. Well, that one doesn't matter. You would damn sure hurt it if it was the SEC title game. And they're both undefeated. So that, you know, that it's not completely out of the realm of possibility, but I think it has to be the one. It has to be OU and OSU, period. Mm-hmm. End of story. Being able to one of them avenge the other one and both be undefeated in Stillwater.
That has to be the thing. Step one. Step two.
And then they split.
Then they split. That's step two. And then step three is chaos.
And because of name recognition, I
took a lot of that into account on my list here.
I think it's a lot more likely for Oklahoma to get the benefit of the doubt in a loss in the Big 12 title game than it would be Oklahoma State. Yeah. So I think OU would have to win regular season Bedlam, and then OSU win the Big 12 title would be the only chance two teams would get there.
Right.
So that's my top five, and then after that, I've got Ohio State 6 ahead of Oregon 7 just because I don't think Oregon can run the table. But if they both do, I flip those. Because Oregon beat Ohio State. Then Penn State, Michigan State. You realize Michigan State's undefeated and they haven't played anybody with a winning record?
No.
That's why I have them 9th. And then I've got Cincinnati 10th. I still, with everything going on, even though they're undefeated, even though they did exactly what anybody asked them to do, going on the road, beating teams that were ranked, I still think they're pretty far down the pecking order and need a bunch of help. With the way, especially with the way the Big Ten is shaping up, to have at worst a one-loss team win it and with some good wins.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I feel like there's such a campaign to get the first group of five team into the playoff, and it's all in on Cincinnati. I think that, and I keep going back to, if I was on the committee, how would I look at these teams and where would I put them? You know what I mean? So the first three, I agreed with you, Georgia, OU, Bama, for all the reasons that you said. Now, number four, and this is going into this weekend, and again, how we kind of think, it's not so much just this weekend, but how we think this could all shake out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got Ohio State. I think they run the table. I think they could run the table. If they run the table and win the Big Ten title, they're in there as the four seed with one loss. And then what I just said about Cincinnati is why I have them at number five. I think they're right there, so close, but they still need that help of an Ohio State loss to get them into the top four. I know it sucks. It is what it is. But, hey, at least you're getting into the Big 12 soon, Cincinnati, so got a chance to really get in there. But I don't know. I mean, their conference slate and the teams that they play aren't that strong, as it outweighs what they've done out of conference. Does that make sense?
100%.
It's like, okay, yeah, this is great, Cincinnati. You're blowing people out of the water, but you're blowing the UCFs and the Tulanes and probably the Houstons out of the water. That's great. But, man, we'd love to see you play in a conference like the Big Ten every year or Big 12. I know that's coming, like I said. And, you know, there's virtually outside of Kansas and maybe Kansas State right now. There's no off week. But what I'm saying is the strength of schedule in their conference, it outweighs what they've done out of conference to me.
It's going to help them immensely if SMU can keep winning.
Yeah. Houston
immensely.
Too.
You know, well, they don't have Houston on the schedule.
I know that, but
maybe in a title game or what have you.
After Cincinnati, I put Oregon there. there's that, you know, run the table scenario, one loss, but the perception of the Pac-12 hurts them, but that they're still in the conversation. You know, and then, you know, it gets muddy down here at the bottom. Michigan, Michigan State. I didn't realize the stat about Michigan State, or I probably wouldn't have put them this high, but it's locked in. But Michigan, Michigan State, followed by Oklahoma State at 9. And name recognition is a big part of this, too, for me.
Well, and you just don't think they're going to run the table.
Honestly, no.
Yeah. I mean,
but, I mean, it's not a knock on them. I mean, I want to see more of their offense if they are going to run the table. But at some point, they're going to – I mean, it could be this weekend. It could be against OU in the season finale. They're going to run into an offense that's going to do just enough against their defense, and their offense won't be able to catch up or keep up.
This weekend is a huge weekend for Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Number 10, by the way, Wake Forest. They're still undefeated, and they're still in the Power
5. Yeah, I didn't even realize they were undefeated.
Yeah, they're undefeated. They're in a Power 5. What if they run the table? They've got to be in the conversation.
100% they're in. If they're the ACC champ undefeated, they're in. 100%.
That's all I'm saying. And yeah, there's a possibility of that.
Yeah, they got Army this week. There you go. 6-0 versus 4-2. I just noticed it. Man. How much has the ACC fallen? Because Clemson isn't any good. Nobody has a clue who's in it.
I looked up conference standings making this list, and I saw they're undefeated.
I had no idea.
They're undefeated. They're and listen, I think at the end of the day, they're going to make a New Year's Bowl. I think they slip up somewhere in there. But you never know. They're kind of like the OSU of the ACC right now. They're just winning.
Yeah, that's the that's the part. Yeah, Cali, you look at their schedule, it looks like OU's. Three-point win. Close wins against Louisville and Syracuse.
But they're winning.
But they are winning.
They're winning. If they continue to win, and I mean, you can't keep them out if they're the undefeated ACC champ, right?
No. They're not going to get kept out. How about Wake Forest being in the playoff?
Wake Forest over a one-loss Oregon champion?
My Lord, wouldn't you? Whatever seed you are,
and everyone's going to scream, Oregon's better than Wake Forest. Sorry, you lost to Stanford. They took care of business. They did everything asked of them.
If you're another team in the playoff, wouldn't you love to see Wake Forest as your opponent?
Yeah,
I mean, I think that with Cincinnati, just to be quite honest.
Well, yeah, part of me, yeah, agreed. But you'd really want Wake Forest. I mean, if you're an OU fan, you're hoping you're running the table, and so is Wake Forest. You can get that, you maybe get that dream scenario of facing them
in Jerry World.
I mean, my goodness. But they still. I mean, I haven't seen the rest of their schedule. Have you?
Yeah, I've got it right here.
Real quick.
At Army, Duke, at North Carolina, host North Carolina State, at Clemson, at Boston College,
NC State, Clemson. Boston College could be a problem.
At UNC, you never know.
At UNC, they've been up and down. But they might win all those games by 3.
Breaking news.
Dun, 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 dun.
Out of Cleveland, quarterback Case Keenum to start in place of Baker Mayfield on Thursday night against Denver. Mayfield has a torn labrum in his left shoulder. He will miss the his first career start due to injury tomorrow night against Denver. So Case Keenum is in the lineup. Baker Mayfield out, Chubb out, Kareem Hunt out. You know who was the smartest guy in our fantasy league, Jared, last weekend?
Who's that?
Me. You know why?
Why is that?
I picked up whatever his name is, D'Ernest Johnson, who is now going to start at running back for the Cleveland Browns alongside Case Keenum. Wouldn't you think his workload would be pretty high?
Yeah.
And by the way, anybody that wants to trade for him after this week, feel free.
He's already on the market.
Feel free after this week.
Well,
after this weekend, feel free to come try to get D'Ernest Johnson for about whatever you want to. You know, he'll be available. Let's just say that. But so Baker not going to start. NBA season opened last night. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the 75th version of the NBA?
2.5.
I said 0 when I was asked this question yesterday.
I mean, I was trying to be nice. I'm not excited at all.
Well, for one,
I'm just
even if the Thunder were in the good seasons, it's still football season right now. So the start of the season, it always takes a little bit to get kind of into it.
I was really hoping it would stick that to start the season later in the year. You know what they did last season. You know, like like you've said over and over.
Christmas Day. Shorten the season. And even if you want to keep the season at the same length, start at Christmas Day, and then the finals are in the middle of the summer when nothing's happening other than regular season baseball.
Right.
It makes too much sense.
It does. It absolutely does. But right now my attention is full on football in that order, high school, college, NFL.
Yeah.
And then right now the baseball playoffs, and then maybe – just maybe NBA.
Do you think that our boys down at the gas building ought to go after Paycom for trying to light up the Paycom Center like they do 3rd Street in Elk City? Did they come out here, see that, and knock it off?
Seems like a little bit of a knockoff. It does.
It really does. That green. All right, Jordan, get after them. Anyway, it's green. I can tell you that. It is green.
It glows.
Yeah, looks good just like their building down here does. All right, Thunder tonight against Utah. There are some things to look, I guess, forward to. How much better can SGA get is one for me. I am of the opinion that at some point the best trading piece the Thunder are going to end up with out of this whole rebuild is going to be Lu Dort.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to want to pay him what he's going to command. And right now he's on the best contract there is. And he's a guy that people want to have to win. So, you know, his development. And then Giddey and Poku, right? See what Giddey can do. See if Poku is just a giant bust or if he can figure it out at some point. You know, those are the things that, you know, if we'd have been sitting here in 2009, we'd have been talking about. And lo and behold, it became Westbrook and Durant and then later Harden and, you know, that kind of thing. So this is the trying to be the building blocks of that. Without maybe the capability of having a star like Durant. SGA not in that category, even as a young Durant was. But we'll see if Presti can pull off that magic again.
I think – now, are we looking forward here as far as, like, the first month of games, maybe less? Is that going to tell us where this franchise is moving forward as far as they're trying to win, trying to develop, or just trying to – tank to gain better assets?
I don't think it's going to look like it did last year where they just quit playing guys.
Right.
But they're not trying to win.
So it's a little in between.
Yeah, but I think the way that...
So it's a little development, but...
Yeah, then that's the way they're going to be able to use it this year.
Even in a loss, we win because we develop kids.
That's right. Yeah. And the guys that you're going to want to see what they can do, you're going to get a chance to see what they can do.
Right.
You know, the Pokus and the Giddeys and that kind of – those guys, by having them out there, it's going to serve two purposes. One, they get the experience, they get the footing and trying to figure out what the league's about. And two, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, SGA isn't quite that. I mean, he's good enough to where maybe he swings a couple of games. But I just don't think you're going to see – like even last year to start the season, I think they were surprised how good they were. And it put him kind of behind the eight ball too far to just lose every game, and they still ended up with the sixth pick, which lottery luck didn't help them. But I don't think they're going to get themselves in the spot to where they have to lose 24 out of 25 to finish the season. They're never – you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think they have the ability to put young guys in to keep that win total down, yet letting you see the young guys. Who do you think plays for the title?
I think the Nets do in the East, despite their outcome last night. I still think they're too dynamic. It's a long season. I think they'll be in there. And the West, I'm not sold on the Lakers. I mean, the other morning I was hearing their roster. I mean, we know about the big three with LeBron, Davis, and Westbrook, and maybe the big two after Westbrook's performance last night. But the rest of their roster just – made up of once upon a time was really good guys.
Old dudes or really young dudes, one of the two.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work. I'll put the Clippers in there.
You know, nobody's talking about them.
Nobody is, and that's probably a good thing for them. I think
Paul Kawhi George at Kawhi, some point comes back.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, I think they actually put a run in there. I mean, there's contenders like, you know, well, can Phoenix do it again? I seem to like caught lightning in a bottle. Can they do it again? You know, there's always that mounting pressure. You know, they remind me of Thunder when they made the finals in 12, and they're always trying to get back up there. Now, they'll make deep playoff runs, but I don't know if they can get back to the finals. So I'll put the Nets with the Clippers in the finals.
I'm going to have...
This is based on my 2.5 excitement of the NBA.
It's pretty wild that the East is better than the West.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since that's been the case.
Shifted that way, yeah.
I'm anxious to see what Atlanta does. That's who reminds me of the Thunder. To me, this is the year the Thunder made the finals in 2012 for Atlanta because they kind of came out of nowhere to reach the conference finals a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, where are they? And they're still young. They kind of, that's the, to me, the comp for the Thunder is that Atlanta team. I don't see them making it. I think it's Nets or Bucks. I'm going to go with the Bucks again. I think the weight of the world is lifted off of that team's shoulders. Giannis, in particular, with the way he came through, watch out.
They looked good last night.
I think the Bucks are going to be, and he's going to be a different animal to deal with. The West, I'm like you with the Lakers. I got to see it to believe it. Even though I think they're more built for the postseason than the regular season, because of their whole goal in the regular season ought to be get to the playoffs healthy. No matter how many games we win, doesn't matter. As long as we're healthy, we can win on the road. It makes no difference. Can they do it with those old dudes? I don't know. Clippers are interesting to see what happens with Kawhi. I'm going to go with Denver.
Okay, that's out of there.
I'm going to go with Denver.
Left field there. Okay.
They've been kind of there the last few years. Murray will come back at some point, you hope, if you're a Denver fan. If they had him, I would feel really good about that pick. But I'm going to go with Denver because I don't know if Phoenix can do it again.
Yeah, I don't know if they can.
So I'm going to go Denver-Milwaukee. And my God, did you just hear the execs at ESPN and TNT?
No.
ABC? I think they all just jumped out the window with the Denver-Milwaukee final.
Oh.
I didn't get to Tragic Johnson.
Yep.
God, we got to talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah,
his comments were ridiculous. Of all the people on earth, Tragic Johnson. Good grief. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.